Miru Merikaraso was born in Thessaloniki on 1921, the oldest of five children. She grew up sheltered in a wealthy family until she and her brother Albert, hiding with false papers, boarded a bus for Athens and remained hidden in the city. Nina Hadzi interviewed Mrs. Angel in Athens in 2006. Miru Mary Angel passed away in 2010. This episode is narrated by Jenny Barnett in Boar's Head, UK. My name is Anita Mordehai.
I come from a large family, a wealthy family, and I was the oldest child of Samuel Abraham Carosso and Rachel Esrati. I'm going to tell you about the charmed life I led for the first 20 years of my life. I'll tell you about my family, and I'll tell you how it all came to a horrible end. My father, Samuel Abraham Carosso, sold sugar on Ignatius Street, and as his business grew, he went into partnership with a man who had shops in the Chalkidiki region. They had a lovely store in the Modiano Market, this very handsome marketplace in the centre of town. My mother, Rachel Esrati, was born in 1900. I remember her father well, Simontov Esrati, a very nice man with, well, quite a gambling habit. Many of the people in our family, those older than me, didn't speak a word of Greek. I mean, Salonika, or Thessaloniki as they call it now, had nothing to do with Greece until 1912, when the Ottomans left and the Greeks arrived. Everyone in our family spoke Judeo-Spanish, and most of us spoke French. I remember that when my mother took all five children to buy us clothes and shoes, the Christian merchants in town all knew how to converse in Judeo-Spanish with her. They had to. My mother took care of all five of us and ran the whole house, a big, beautiful one my father built, and she did it almost all on her own. She had a young Christian woman who helped a bit, and this girl would pick us up from school every day, and as we walked up the front steps, Mother would be standing right there with food for us even before we crossed the threshold. My mother was also very religious. She always sat in the first women's row in the synagogue, and that's because she was involved with helping get it built. I remember she sat there wearing her stylish clothes and her gold jewellery and looking so elegant. So yes, we were a wealthy family. As for us, the children, I am the oldest, born in 1921. Next is my brother Abraham, Alberto Carosso. Then came my sister Gemma, Isidore and Rennie. There was another child who died very young, I'm sorry to say. I should say something more about this grand house that Father built for us. There were four bedrooms, a large kitchen and three balconies. The living room was huge. I still have some of that furniture. There was an enormous kitchen plus two front and two back bedrooms. My room was at the back, always cold in the winter. I would give a drachma to little brother Isidore to go lie on my bed and warm it up for me. He would stretch his whole body over my cold sheets to warm them, then demand two drachma from me, a good little businessman, that boy. As for our education, there were a lot of Jewish schools, but my mother sent us to the French missionary school. Father was worried that I might become a nun, but he got over it, and every afternoon a teacher would come to teach Alberto and me Greek. Fridays were special. My father and the children went to synagogue, and Mother would give us oil to take and light in a bowl in the synagogue. It's a Sephardic tradition. Ashkenazi Jews don't do this. Then we came back from synagogue, and Father would sit alone in the dining room and have an ouzo. But as his oldest child, he wanted me to be there with him. After that, the doors would open and the rest of the family filed in. I can say that we loved the holiday of Pesach best, and we would read from the Haggadah, which tells about the Exodus from Egypt. It starts with those famous words that we would recite in Judeo-Spanish. Este pandela africión que comieron nuestros padres en tierra de Egipto, which means this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate while they were in the land of Egypt. Little did we know that those words were about to come true in ways no one could imagine. So now you know, and I can truly say my pre-war life in Thessaloniki was like a fairy tale, the best years of my life. I would never again be so cared for, so loved, and to be truthful, so rich. During the war, I was with my parents at the movies when we heard about Italy's invasion of Greece.
The Axis Octopus stretches out its tentacles in an effort to grab Greece.
The next day, on the 28th of October, 1940, war was declared. The Germans marched into Thessaloniki in April 1941. Then our Golgotha began. The day the Germans showed up, my father rushed to take one of his employees to our house to remove the Jewish star on the front door. Then he emptied out almost all the closets and cupboards and filled everything he could with food from the market. Rice, pasta, oil, honey. Then they put us in ghettos and we had to wear a yellow star. Father wouldn't let us leave the house, which means I never saw Jews being taken away by train, nor did I guess what would happen to them. When things got even worse, my father's very good friend, Nikos Manias, came one day and he told Father that he could get false papers for me and my brother Alberto. Manias paid someone and my brother's new name became Nikos Angelidis and mine was Mary Angelidou. Then he took us to a woman who hid us for almost a month. One day a man sent by Nico took Alberto and me to a bus. He told us, don't sit together, and if anyone asks, you don't know each other. Then he sat separately from us and pretended not to know either of us. The driver started out, but around 30 kilometres outside of Salonika, near the village of Ekaterini, he suddenly stopped the bus. This driver came over and asked me if I was related to that young man, he said, pointing at Alberto. I said, I didn't know him. Then the driver went to my brother and asked him if he knew me. Alberto said no. Furious, the driver said that he was throwing me off the bus, and I started crying right there. Suddenly, everybody in the bus started yelling at the driver. One man stepped forward and claimed to be the chief commander from the mountain from Andartiko, which means he was a partisan. He stared at the driver and said that if he didn't drive us all to Athens, the resistance would hear about it. That's what it took. Not long after we arrived, a relative of the Manias family looked after us, and then Michel Michael, a Jew from drama, found me. He had lived in Thessaloniki near us, and Michel told me that he saw my father, my mother, and Gemma, Isidore, and Relika getting into the train with the last Jews to leave the city. Michel was able to get close to my father and talk with him for a minute. My father told him, find my children in Athens, take care of them. Michel was true to his word. He found us a house in the suburbs and didn't tell the owners that we were Jews. Michel helped in every way he could, but when the Italians left and the Germans came in September 1943, Michel went to the mountain because he was an army officer during Alvanico. He rented a room for us from a very sweet woman, Mrs. Vasiliki, who slept in the kitchen with her two sons and her daughter. In the meantime, every day I would ask Alberto what he had heard about our family. Without fail, he always said they were very well and our mother and our sister Gemma were sewing hemlines. So we would raise our glass to the health of our mother. In fact, my brother was listening to Radio London, so by 1944, he must have known what was happening. But he never told me a thing. Liberation. It was in September 1944.
The liberation of Greece has been continuing at a smooth and rapid pace. Latest newsreel pictures show more British troops being taken there by Greek and British warships.
By this time, Alberto had also gone to fight, and I was alone with the Vasiliki family. But as the neighbours came out, one by one, they would quietly tell me they knew Albert and I were Jewish, but none of them betrayed us. The Manias family came to collect me, and the first thing they did was give me some money and bring it to Mrs. Vasiliki so I could thank her. As soon as it was safe to travel, Alberto let me know that he went directly to Thessaloniki. He wanted to check what had happened to our house. He told me, I guess he was lying, that he wanted to prepare the house before our mother's return. Then he waited for me at the port of Thessaloniki. Our family friend Alfredo Angel was there to meet someone else, but he saw me. And later he told me, he went straight home to his parents and said, I am going to marry that girl, no matter what. The first thing I did was rush to our house. It was just as we'd left it. Not much had been taken. I started trembling. I thought I was hearing my mother's voice from the kitchen calling me. I was seized with panic. Over the next few days and weeks, Jews started coming back from the camps. I went around holding a picture of my mother and another of my sister Gemma and was asking if anyone knew anything about them. Their answer was that they had been burned in the crematorium. I thought they were crazy. But my brother had figured out the truth even before this, and he asked me not to wander around any more asking about our relatives. He said that these people who had returned from Auschwitz were not crazy. They were telling the truth. I stood there for a moment, and then I started beating him because for more than 2 years he must have been lying to me, and I sunk into a depression that I would not climb out of. For a year. We found out what happened. It turns out my father's own business partner had turned him in. My parents and my siblings, they were all hiding in Chalkidiki, but none of them really spoke much Greek. They couldn't blend in, especially when they were betrayed. That's why they were on the train that day when Michelle saw them, and that train, we now knew, was headed for Auschwitz. As soon as I learned the truth, I gave my mother's enormous crystal chandelier to our synagogue. It's still there. With that, I suppose, I could start over. I found my friends, those who came back, and everyone who returned rushed to marry each other just to have someone to hold on to. You can just imagine, we had gone from a community of tens and tens of thousands of Jews to, what, just a few thousand at most. Of course we clung together, those of us who stayed. My brother, who had survived the Germans and fought with the partisans, wasn't going to fight other Greeks in the civil war that was just starting. So he left for Israel, and I got engaged to Alfredo Angel. About my husband, Alfredo was born in 1909 and died in 1983. He was a textile merchant. We married on the 6th of June 1946 at Kalmonasdielis, and I was crying the entire time because I could hear my mother saying, as she always did, "What a wedding I will make for you." My first daughter, Lucy, was born on the 16th of August 1947. 5 years later, I gave birth to a second daughter, Rachel Shelley. They were both wonderful kids that I still torture to this day. I must tell you that after the war, I lost all faith in religion. Yet when my daughters were born, we started all over again. Back to the same synagogue, back to Jewish traditions. Maybe not so many of them like before, but I was a Jew and we went to the synagogue every Friday night. That much, that I can do. It's only recently that I came to live in Athens. A few years after I lost my husband, I fell and had to be hospitalised. My son-in-law, Mimis Beza, could not have been more wonderful. They helped with my medical expenses. So does the Jewish community of Thessaloniki. Just imagine, after all the wealth I had with my father, I now have to accept help. It isn't easy. And as we approach 2005 and the 60th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, I knew I had to put my soul to rest. After all, I was 84 years old. When I arrived at Birkenau and made my way down that very long path, as my daughter Lucy pushed me in a wheelchair, I fell on the ruins of the crematorium and started crying. I lit candles for Gemma, Isidore and Renica, and two for my mother and my father. I started screaming, "Mamica mia regalada," which is Judeo-Spanish for mother, my beloved one, "Salud buena a Mimi." It took a while for my daughter to take me away, but I did what I felt I had to do, and now I can die in peace. When we left from Birkenau, it was raining. My daughter and a friend pushed the wheelchair.